Dear brethren, once again, we are overwhelmed with a wonderful fellowship and with the many blessings we have received in convention being with you. And a special thank you to the Fresno class for making this possible to all of us. Our study for this hour is based on Revelation 18. And brethren, if we are thinking of the kingdom, that is something very precious to us, because hasn't our Lord himself advised us to say, "Seek ye first for the kingdom, and everything else will be given to you"? So it is our seek for the kingdom, our aim for that, our longing for that wonderful time, which we feel will soon also be here on the earth, available to mankind. Before we go into the details of that 1 hour of destruction of Babylon the Great, we would like to reflect a little bit on another part of the 18th chapter of Revelation, beginning our examination with verse 4 until verse 8, and the time of the harvest, which is mentioned there. And this is interesting for us because it is definitely in connection with the destruction of Babylon the Great on a wider scale. We read verse 4 throughout 8. "And I heard another voice from the heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she says in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall utterly burnt with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her." Now, in the first part of Revelation 18, we have this another voice coming from the heaven. And this voice, brethren, is familiar to us. It's a message we all have received in recent times, in either that way or another way. It's the voice, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people." And we all know what this is referring to. It's the wonderful harvest work the Lord has done at the end of the age, at the end of the time where in this world evil is still amongst us. But we know that there is a hope, and we know that there is an establishment of what is now in heaven will be also in on earth, and that is that the will of the Father will be done. "Come out of her, my people," is a message we have received by the movement which we call the Harvest Movement. And this Harvest Movement, brethren, this Harvest Movement was started at the last part of the last century by our dear brother Charles Russell, who started the activity of bringing the message, "Go out of her, my people, that you don't partake at her sins. And since that time, many others have joined in bringing that wonderful message to those who are in the system, and many heard it and came out. If we look on those problems Babylon the Great has to face, the nominal Christendom has to face, then we see that her problem is, according to verse 7, that she glorified herself and lived deliciously, and she refused to accept the Lord's way. And therefore, she will receive plagues. And we have a mentioning of those plagues, I hope I pronounce it correctly, in verse 8 of this wonderful chapter, and where a day is described where death, mourning, and famine is described, and where the judgment of our great Lord will be performed. And here, brethren, we are making a difference between the day of the judgment and the day of the performance of that judgment. There is a difference. Now, if we look back and we remember throughout history, we find that even in the time of Napoleon, the papal power has been hurt, has been decreased. And we know that since that time, the system was getting weaker and weaker. And we know throughout chronology that in the year 1799, this hurt to the papal system was going. And maybe just an interesting story. We are living 5 miles away from a town in Germany which is called Worms. You know that because of the Diet of Worms. And it is in the year 1800 that this mightiful and powerful residence of the bishop ceased. That great tradition of that really influential work the papacy has done in that town ceased at that day. And I was thinking, wow, this is interesting. Just a year after we have seen that Napoleon took the Pope away, the influence was decreasing. Of course, brethren, we know that there is still a system. We know that if we go to Rome, that we see still a Vatican State. And that is, brethren, part of our observation in this hour. Now, this call, come out of her, my people, is an essential call for the harvest work. And we know that there is still this harvest work going on. And the proof of that is, of course, that blindness on the subject of Messiah is still around in Israel. However, we will continue our observations on Revelation 18 and look out how a destruction is described and performed, and that is the destruction of 1 hour. We read verse 9 throughout 12. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her, and they shall see the smoke of her burning. Well, we remember that there is smoke, fire, and that smoke and fire is very often also a symbol for anarchy, anarchy in that system. Well, we'll come back on that subject soon. Verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. For no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver, of precious stones and pearls, of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, and so on, and finely wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble. Until here. Brethren, there is a judgment coming over Babylon the Great of 1 hour, which is described in a different way. We see first that the kings of the earth are bewailing her. And if we see the influence Babylon the Great, the nominal Christendom, has given to the kings of the earth, which today we would say the governments of the earth, the influence of the earth, then we see that this has to some degree ceased and more is coming. And we see also that they are standing far off of Babylon because they see that smoke is coming out of the city from that fire which has been mentioned before. Now, we know that Babylon means confusion. And confusion, brethren, that's, I would almost say, wonderful, but actually, confusion is nothing else than anarchy. So if we have confusion, we have anarchy, and the fire in Babylon, those kings of the earth see, they see that this system is not going to work any longer. That is burned down. Now, she glorified herself, and she gave wine to drink to the kings of the earth. And as we continue, we will see that not only the kings of the earth have benefited from her, but also the merchandise. And not only the merchandise, but many others, and we are going to see how this will fit in that destruction, in that judgment of one day. Classes are mentioned there. As we have seen now, the kings of the earth, then the merchants of the earth, also called the merchants of these things, who became rich of her, according to verse 15. But also other classes, as we continue, are there mentioned, like every shipmaster, or every passenger, or every sailor. And very remarkable for us in verse 17, for in 1 hour such great wealth has laid waste. Now, let us reflect on the merchants of the sea. Who are they? Merchants. They're in trade. Their business is to trade. We know them, brethren. Those merchants are now, in our time, they are businesses which are in trade, which are producing, selling, and buying, and trading goods. It is quite become a global sign of our time that this trade is going on. And we are suggesting here a thought which is also supported by our brother Russell, that those merchants are businessmen, and we suggest here that these businessmen mentioned here are top managers of, let us say, great huge companies, international companies, trusts, holdings, and other great enterprises. From Nelson's dictionary, we have an illustration of the merchant ships. Merchant ships were to were of varying size. The smaller coastal traders were from 19 to 22 meters, which is 50 to 60 feet long, and 5 to 7 meters, which is 15 to 20 feet wide. The larger ones that sailed the open waters were frequently well over 38 meters, which is 100 feet long, and sometimes as long as 66 meters, which would be 180 feet, and up to 19 meters, which would be 50 feet wide. That's huge. Those ships were usually made out of pine or cedar boards over a hardwood frame, and the whole structure was held together with hardwood dowels. With such ships, many cargoes, many loads were transported and were involved in this trade and increasing the wealth of many nations. And if we remember on the construction of such a ship, we see that a company is not existing out of one thing. A company is existing out of different departments. A company is existing out of a shipping department, out of a, you know better the English expression than I do. And they all work together. They all are a combination, and their aim is to have success in the trade, in earning money, in bringing in money in order to expand, to live, and to continue the business. Well, these merchants, they were also weeping and mourning, as verse 8:11 is indicating us, because no one was buying anymore. They had gold, they had silver, they had precious stones and pearls, and fine linen, purple and silk, scarlet, and many, many other goods. And no one was buying anymore because the system of Babylon the Great was not working. Now, if we are looking on those things, we see that that the merchants of the sea were not only, they were the heads of this government, of these companies, but there were others involved in the process of mourning and weeping and being very sad about the destruction of Babylon the Great. And we continue that, and we will see that we have included in this group every shipmaster, every passenger, and every sailor. Now, the shipmasters, what could they represent? It is our thought that the shipmasters are representing those in the companies who are not in charge of the whole company, but, for instance, of a department. And we suggest that the passengers represent those in the trading and in the economical influence which are employees of companies, and every sailor could possibly, and here is also a suggestion, represent those who are benefiting of what is earned out of a company, out of a business. We think here of the families and relatives, those who are benefiting from those who are passengers, the workers, the employees. Also those who are retired and receive a benefit from their work before. Those all, they were standing there seeing that fire, that smoke coming out of that city, and they were frightened. And we'll go on, read in our text, Revelation 13, throughout 17. And Sinanion, odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flavor and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were daintily and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich of her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed with fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to nothing. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood far off. We have here this description, brethren, that all those men were watching. And then this destruction has come in 1 hour. Now we have to see that Babylon the Great in our time has decreased its power to a certain extent. We see that it's now possible for us here to gather together in convention without having a problem. Now, but we know that there is still something left of that system, something which needs to be judged, and that is still to come. Now, one suggestion how this hour would be interpreted would be the following. The whole situation we see in Revelation 18 is a description of merchandising, of market. And interesting is that, for instance, the Vatican, with its bank, the Vatican Bank, is one of the greatest stock traders at the New York Stock Exchange. And that is officially not known, but there are sources giving that information. And it's the first time in history, brethren, that literally there is a possibility that in 1 hour, even though we think that that hour is not a 60-minute hour, but a very short time, a destruction of the wealth of that system would be possible. We will explain that for those who are not familiar with this thought. It is known that the Vatican Bank has still a lot of shares in many companies. And it's known that it's doing, that it's holding those shares in a very unusual way. And this way is the so-called financial futures way. And through the computer trade of the stock exchange, it is now possible to sell and to buy without being present. Now, we have seen a taste of that destruction or that harm the computer trade could do when we have seen the crash at the stock exchange in 1987, which was caused by computers. Well, those people who are taking charge of it, they are somewhat clever. They learned, and they put stop marks in their computer programs. so that the disaster cannot come again in, so to say, 3 days. That's why we are suggesting that those 1 hour is not literally 1 60-minute hour, but is a symbolic hour of maybe a few days, but showing us that it takes very short time to finish that final destruction, to finish the judgment on the nominal Christendom, and to cause problems on the financial markets. We don't know to which extent, but in this century we had a very interesting example. It was a breakdown of the stock exchange in 1927. Afterwards, there was the Great Depression, and we have seen, or many of you are still able to remember, how, which effects were there. But coming back to our scripture, verse 16 is saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that has clothes fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." Brethren, that is another proof for us that this is speaking about the Vatican system and nominal Christendom, because they have indeed, literally, covered themselves with gold and with these precious stones and with the scarlet. Seems that our time is going ahead. We are to know what is going on in this time, and we are to know that this destruction can be, in our time, be performed in such a short way, and we will go on seeing how the effects would be on the shipmaster, the passengers, and the sailors. But let us read, therefore, and continue our study from verse 19 onwards. 19 to 21. "And they cast dust on her heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her coastliness. For in 1 hour she has made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Rejoice ye, thou heaven, holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." Brethren, this is reminding us to the situation we find in Revelation 19, where the heavens are shouting, "Hallelujah! The destruction of Babylon the Great has come." Salvation and glory, chapter 19, verse 1, "and honor and power unto the Lord of God. For true and righteousness are his judgments," verse 2, "for he had judged the great war, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and had avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." The heavens are rejoicing on the judgment, even though the ships, the shipmasters, the merchants, the kings, and the passengers are staying outside, but it's amazing to them, and somewhat they feel sad because they benefited. Now we know that what has been declared here in verse 20 of Revelation 18 is a wonderful thing for the heavens, because the apostles, they are those who have taught the Christians, and the prophets, There are those who had teached Israel. They were arranged. Why? Well, the question, of course, arises, what do have the prophets to do with Babylon the Great? Haven't they lived ages before Babylon the Great, in the sense we understand it was coming to power, and were they persecuted by Babylon the Great? Yes, brethren. The prophets were persecuted by Babylon the Great in a special way. Imagine the prophets referring to the Old Testament, and imagine the apostles referring to the New Testament, and those two witnesses being persecuted by the nominal church system. And we know how long it was forbidden to read and to study the Bible throughout the Dark Ages. And we know that those two witnesses were there. And they have been kept. They have been translated. They have been copied. But nevertheless, only through the instruction of an authorized person, a priest, this was available for people. And there were reasons for them to do it that way, because that has increased their power. And with their power, the power of the kings of the earth, and the merchants, and all those who are in that ship, which we suggest is the business order. Now let us go on in our study and see from verse 21 throughout the end of Revelation what is going on. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of a bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more in all of thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceresses were all nations deceived. And now, finally, verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now let us look on those verses and examine how they are in connection with what has been said before. If we look at verse 24, the end of this chapter, we see that the blood of the prophets and of the saints were found in her. And it's true, brethren, that the persecution of the church has gone out from the nominal Christendom. And it's true that in the time of Reformation especially, and throughout the Dark Ages, but up to modern times, persecution has been performed. But however, we are reminded that there is a great joy in heaven that the judgment of our great Lord God has come over the system. A mighty angel described in verse 21 took a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." And imagine, brethren, you would standing at the seashore and you would have to destroy something. Now, the sea, that is reminding us to the unrestless masses of people. And the destruction, if you want to throw something in the sea and you want to forget it and make it no more available for anyone, you have to bring it down to the bottom of the sea with a weight. And that millstone is used here as a wonderful description what weight will be used. Millstones at the time where the apostle had seen this vision were huge. Some were little, yes. But usually they were quite huge, and some would receive quite a height. And we suggest that this is such a millstone, which is not a little thing, but which is so huge that we can be sure that it will be at the bottom, and nothing more will come up, and it will be forgotten, and it will be over, out. No more reminder. That angel is taking that millstone and bringing her into the sea. But that is a picture, because we have seen that the merchants and the shipmasters and the passengers and the kings of the earth, they stood afar off and have seen the smoke. So how do you want to destroy a city with smoke, with a millstone? So we suggest that the millstone is here used as a picture of that final and definite destruction. Now the question is rising, who is that angel? And our suggestion here in this matter is that that angel is a messenger of the Lord who is performing the judgment, and that this is the Lord's power given to someone to perform it. It's the Lord actually himself by his power through an angel. Babylon, and that is the message in this verse 21, is thrown down, found no more at all. And that is an interesting thing if we connect it to verse 22, where we see the voice of a harper and a musician and of pipers and of trumpeters and so on are no more heard. Now, if you imagine someone throwing something into the sea, you can easily imagine that all the remains are down in the sea and nothing is seen. But what is described here in verse 22 is the voice. Something which is still in the air, acoustical, to be heard. It's merely reminding us of the thoughts, of the thinking. And this voice of the musicians and the harpers and of the trumpets and so on was not found in her. And more important, what was not found in her was the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride. And this is reported in verse 23. Now, brethren, we can be happy that this voice is not over there. And you know the reason why? If we are going back to the beginning of our study, we have heard Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, that ye do not partake us. And brethren, if then at the time of the destruction there is no more the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride in her, that means that the bride and the bridegroom has gone out of her, that the work was successful, that the message came into her, and that they went out. And therefore, the time of destruction was ready. Wonderful to know that this plan of God, that harvest work, has functioned. That the voice of the bride and the bridegroom was not found, and therefore destruction of her was possible. And we know that other things have not been found there too. But the merchants were great. They were the great men of the earth, as verse 22 is stating. But they were deceived. And this is what we have to see. That Babylon the Great deceived the people by the wine she has given to make the nations drunken. But the Lord has called out of her those who are the bride of Christ. And the voice of the bridegroom shall be not more found in her. And it's beautiful, brethren, and it's a pleasure for us to see that our great God and Father has brought that voice of the bridegroom amongst us by that wonderful and marvelous plan he has shown in his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Stalder, for this very interesting treatment of destruction in 1 hour from Revelation 18. Brother Samuel Stalder, to close our convention with prayer.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, our hearts are touched with thy loving kindness. Our hearts are touched with all that thou hast provided for us, touched with thy love and thy outstanding mercy to us. We ask thee as we depart from here, Lord, be not only with us who has assembled here, but be with all in the household of faith, thy people worldwide. Bless all who are striving for more knowledge of thy marvelous plan. Bless all who would have liked to be here but could not come out of various reasons. And, Lord, be with us until we meet again. Amen.